Hello, beautiful humans. Welcome to The Shawnee Show. I am your host, Shawnee Suiza. And today we have an awesome interview episode with the one and only Isabella Addison, aka Izzy. She is fucking bomb. She's an incredible artist. She has been very active in the NFT space these days, but she's just an amazing fine artist as well. She's a painter, a street artist. She's done some incredible murals. She's just really so talented. And I've gotten to know her over the last few months at various events and things like that. So I was really, really excited that she was able to come on the show today. And yeah, I'm just excited for you guys to hear it. As always, please rate, subscribe, tune in, follow, share, whatever the fuck. Support us at Shawnee Show, at Shawnee Suiza on all social media platforms. And Izzy's handles is at Isabella Addison. That's Isabella Addison. Ooh, hope you guys enjoy. Hope you guys enjoy. And happy 420, the high holidays, which truly do matter. Mwah! I hope you guys celebrate correctly. The Shawnee Show is sponsored by Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casinos and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus in your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Here we are, good to go.
Woo! Sweet. Hello.
Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Anytime.
Have you been on podcasts before? I was trying to find some.
Let me think. I did a podcast, which never got aired, but I did a podcast with my good friend Danny. He goes by Cool Man Coffee Dan. And he had these like guitars that we painted while we podcasted.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So that was cool. And let me think. I think I did another podcast. Maybe not. Maybe that was my first podcast.
But yeah.
I feel like this is my actual official first podcast.
I love interviewing people for the first time because so many people have done so many shows before that it's like you have to try and find gems that they haven't discussed. And so when you have someone who's a fresh canvas, like it's so fun.
There's definitely a lot of gems in there.
There really is. Okay. So first of all, you're just like an incredible artist. I think we should just announce that to the room.
Thank you.
Should just let the room know. She's great. 10 out of 10. So talented. But I want to talk to you about the start of your art with this character Aiko. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Aiko.
Aiko. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that whole story and like how climate change factored into it, because that was really the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I tell us a little about that.
So I actually thought of this story. I want to say I was a senior in high school. So now it's been like, you know, 6 years or so. Seven? Mm. Oh my gosh.
How old are you now?
I'm 24.
Oh my God, you're so young.
So yeah, it's been a minute though.
Yeah.
So I came up with this character, this whole story called Disco's Dead. Mm. And I just always loved cartoons and all that. So I knew that was something that I kind of wanted to do, but I just came up with the story first and I thought it was really great. So I started painting it and just like creating it like that. And as I just like started making this universe with my art, that's when I was like, okay, this could probably be a series of some sort, maybe a comic book, a cartoon. I personally love animation, so I would love it to be a cartoon.
I love animation.
Me too.
Especially on shrooms.
Yeah. Right? The inception of that just kind of came over the years of like, I came up with a story and then kind of making it deeper, coming up with like politics in it, world building, like the whole thing. It's been a long time and now the whole thing is like fleshed out. Like I have the whole plot, I have all these characters in it And now with like my NFTs, I can make it, which right. is crazy.
Was Augment, right? That was mm-hmm. what you did with where you actually animated
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So with that animation, it's basically all created with paintings. So I took
no way.
Yeah, like all the backgrounds, the train car, and all that is paintings. And I would paint it like in this way where all the assets are like separated. Mm. So I would scan the paintings and then separate them and then apply them at different speeds to make it look like it's moving.
Wow.
And then Aiko in that, she's the only thing that's digitally animated.
Right.
So that's kind of what I would want even the cartoon to be like the background's painted and the characters to be like kind of like roughly animated over it, like a little bit like edgy and raw.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's crazy because today when I tweeted out, I have a great guest coming on the podcast. I wrote, she's an incredible artist that mixes the digital and physical. Yeah. And that's exactly what you're talking about right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
Like literally word yeah. for word. It's so cool. I didn't realize that was painting when I saw that. That's so nicely done.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. I think a lot of people don't even notice, but like some areas you can really see like the actual canvas texture on it, which I think is a nice surprise, but you wouldn't really notice it just watching it.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah,
watch it. So you did all of that. You did the whole animation portion. You didn't have somebody else do that?
No, I did it all. And it was definitely a learning experience. It took a while because that's something where I like had to paint the paintings, which took a minute.
Yeah.
And then I had to like learn how to like animate it and do all that. But it was really rewarding. And I think it's kind of a new way. And I'm just so in love with painting that I feel like I can't just let it go and just go full digital. So I think it's the perfect balance. Mix of the two. Exactly.
Yeah. It's hard to go full digital when you're so used to, you know, touching and just,
it's just
working with your hands.
I just love it so much.
Mm-hmm. What program did you use for that? Cause I dabbled in animations like years ago with Maya. Is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
But which one did you use for that?
I used Photoshop.
You use Photoshop?
Yeah.
That? Wait, how?
Well, they have an animation feature.
Oh my God.
I know. I was definitely like, I mean, I'm so good at Photoshop. Yeah. They have like an animation feature. And even before, like, so I did that when I graduated college.
Mm.
It was like my final piece, like my thesis piece. And at the time, like Photoshop animation was pretty like
newish.
Yeah. Like they didn't really have that many features, but now it's improved so much too.
Yeah. Wow. That's so impressive. I did not realize you used Photoshop for that. That's sick. I love how involved you are with your work. A lot of people I feel like have been passing off, like not necessarily all of their work, but they'll pass off the assets to a team that will then turn it into the digital portion of everything. But I like that you've stuck with that and you sell a lot of one of ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your...
It's definitely like, so I've been experimenting what's best, like how I fit into the NFT world, like what's the best way. And just like with the pieces I do, I mean, I come from like that fine art background and street art. It's like you only have like that one of one. It's like, you know, you have your piece. And so I kind of like that in the NFT space too. Like it feels special. Like I'm an artist. Like I'm not even trying to make, you know, an absurd amount of money. All the money I make off of my NFTs goes straight to the cartoon. So I'm being very careful with like, you know, what I release, because I don't want to be oversaturated. I want my piece to be worth it. And the people who like my collectors who buy it, they become part owners of the cartoon series. So I don't want it to be like too many people are like, you know, owners of it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep it kind of like together.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
Okay. I love the addition to owning IP that NFTs have brought into things. Cause I feel like that's really cool. Someone sent me a Bored Ape skincare line that's in my bathroom.
No way. Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. I think they own that ape and then they just turned it into a skincare line, which is really funny.
That's cool.
Okay. So moving on to another one of your pieces that I'm obsessed with, which is War Girl. I think that's, wow. It's just stunning.
Thank you.
It's so insane. So tell us the story of that, because that's another really big part of your art journey.
Yeah. So War Girl is a piece that I created when I first moved to LA, which was about a year and 3 months ago. So I'm still kind of fresh.
Oh shit. Was that during the pandemic?
It was like kind of tail end. Yeah. It was the beginning of 2021.
Yeah. Wait, tilt this just a little bit down. Yeah.
So I created that piece when I first moved here, and I didn't really have a home. I was couch surfing. Mm. I initially moved in with a friend and was staying there, but I kind of planned to visit LA for like 2 weeks and I just loved it. And I ended up just staying for like 4 months and I was like, okay, I need to get my car. And during that time I was couch surfing with different people.
Couch surfing, like using the app or just finding people that you knew?
Like people I knew, like okay. I was just staying on their couch, but not the app.
Got it.
But I initially only knew two people. I had my friend who was like, oh, you can stay with me when I first moved here. And then I was staying too long. So I was like, okay, I can't, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm putting this person out. So then I moved in. I started couch surfing with my only other friend because I was in a rough spot. And he's hilarious. He's a YouTube comedian. His name is Churdleys. And
What is it? Churdleys?
Churdleys. Yeah, he's hilarious. You got to check out his stuff. He's so funny. And he's still like my best friend.
Nice.
But I was in Art District of downtown. I was in a rough spot and I was like, okay, I gotta go somewhere. He's the only other person I knew in LA at the time. And he was also in downtown by USC. So I called him. I was like, hey, I was like, I'm kind of in a rough spot. Can I come over? He's like, of course. I end up like couch surfing with him for like the longest time. And he's the best. We're just like always best friends. He introduced me to all his friends who are all comedians and like film directors. And they're just like they're like my best friends still. Nice. Just such a good community of people. And so I ended up staying with him for a while. But even doing that, like, I was putting him out too. So once I got my car, I was like kind of like spending time, like just living in my car and doing that. But War Girl, oh gosh, I'm going on a tangent. So War Girl,
created. Well, it's part of the War Girl story.
Yeah. So War Girl, I started creating all throughout this whole journey. So I started it in the art district of downtown. Then when I was with Churdleys, and then in my car, and just along the whole journey. I mean, it was one of those paintings where if I just had a place to stay, I probably could have finished it really fast. But it took me months. But I think that's what made it so special, because like there's so many layers to it. Because like sometimes I was like so happy, I was meeting so many people, adding like brighter, more saturated colors. And then there was other times where I was like more stressed out, more like, you know, depressed. And those are like the darker elements. And I think it makes for this really interesting dynamic, like of a painting with a story behind it.
Yeah, my God, it's like a masterpiece. I just love it.
Thank you.
Actually shown it to people before.
Really?
Yeah, I have. I actually have. I just think it's so fantastic. It's such a striking image. And I feel like a lot of what you're talking about shows through those layers. They really do.
Thank you.
The complexities are insane in it. Mm-hmm. And then I love the nose section.
Thanks.
It's just like really freaking cool. Really cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, the piece was basically me, like, just like, you look in her eyes and she's very excited and curious, but then underneath she's all robotic and just like on this path to like make it, and like nothing's gonna stop her. So I like to think that that was me at that time, and still me, but I'm in like a nice stable place now.
Yeah.
But I think if I didn't go through all that, you know, I don't think I would have met the people I did. I don't think, you know, I feel like being an artist or a creator of any type, getting comfortable is a really bad place to be in. Like being uncomfortable and having that goal to like get out of that and like make something, I think that's so important for anyone.
So true. Mm-hmm. If you're a creator and I mean, all you're doing is staying comfortable and just doing what you're used to, and you're not really getting out there, what are you creating from? Like what experiences,
exactly.
What life are you creating from? You know, it's like you have to have experiences. You have to be having fun. Me and Leah were actually talking about that this weekend. We were like, we need more fun. Like our lives depend on it. Our jobs are both reliant on, I can't podcast if I'm not enjoying, you know, myself, and she can't do comedy if she's not, you know, having funny moments around. So it's
absolutely, I mean, and it's those stories like for comedians too, like they just make like humor and comedy out of their lives and like are able to twist in a way. But if you're not doing anything or like having those experiences, like there's really nothing to pull from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so speaking of experiences, something you do that is just fucking crazy to me is this urban climbing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh my God. I remember like seeing that guy on Facebook, Mustang or something, and he would, and I would see all these photos and I'm like, that's fucking insane. Like, there's no way I could, I mean, like, I just could never. And then I was looking up for you for research for this, and I see you at the top of all these fucking buildings. Yeah. And shit. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit of a reckless, like I'm an adrenaline junkie, uh-huh. I'm a little reckless. I mean, I always do things very carefully because, you know, you can't fuck up.
I mean, yeah, you really can. You cannot fuck up.
So like, I always go into it with a really like, you know, focused mindset and all that. And, you know, like, you're not supposed to be doing those things. I'm going to be honest. They're definitely not, they're not allowed. But I go with like friends who are also in the space, like the urban climbing space. And it's so much fun. It's incredible. I just really like to climb tall things, I'm gonna be honest.
What's the process like of figuring out where to climb? Like, do you scout something? Yeah, are there forums and stuff?
Probably here and there. I mean, like, we'll talk, like me and my friends, like everyone in the space, and it's not like the hugest community of urban climbers.
Right.
So we'll like go to places, scout it out. Like, you know, you're not even really supposed to post climbs until like months later, because like you don't want to ruin it for other climbers. If people see like, oh, you climbed, you know, a construction site, and then like it might ruin it for someone else, because then they'll be like, oh, people are breaking in, going in, and then they'll like change the security. So it's like definitely like there's an etiquette to it.
Interesting. But that's like, really interesting.
Yeah, it'll be like it'll be places that maybe are like construction sites where you can kind of get in and they still have cranes. It might be like, crazy. I know it is crazy.
Do you actually, you climb the cranes with nothing, like no?
No, there's
you're just climbing, like that's fucking
more nuts. Or less. Yeah, you definitely have to be careful, but like a lot of things have ladders, like places where there's like construction sites, there'll be like stairs because like the people have to go in, and even places that are already built, there'll be like areas where you can like get in and stuff.
Yeah, through the roof or something.
Yeah, like just different areas. My roommate, he goes by Reckless Ben. He's incredible.
That seems fitting.
Yeah, he's a huge climber as well, and he's does crazy stuff. Literally today, yesterday, he makes these insane YouTube videos, and he basically created the world's largest beer bong. So he,
wow.
Yeah. He does like crazy videos. He's like infiltrated Scientology, like all this stuff. He goes into
cults. Infiltrated Scientology?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
The series is incredible. Honestly, like you should have him on the show next. Oh my God.
I was just thinking that I need to absolutely, that's so crazy.
He's really, really cool.
I went deep down a Scientology rabbit hole at one point.
Yeah. I'll send you the series because it's like he goes in, and then they pull a giant prank on them after. They basically project.
Way to end it.
I know. They project. Sucks under the giant Scientology, like the big blue building. They projected Sucks underneath it. So it was like Scientology Sucks. And they had this, like, they rented this high powered projector that projected, like, I think from like maybe a mile away or something really far.
Holy crap.
And Scientology was like trying to like shine lights on it to cover
to make it.
And
go
they would
away.
Just like move it over the projection. Yeah. It was definitely a thing.
Okay, so he, so wait, so go back to
The beer bong.
Yeah.
So he scaled this building and he went on top of a helicopter pad, and they were able to do it all the way down to the ground.
Oh yeah, shit.
That video, they just did it. So that video is probably gonna come out in the next like week or so.
Ooh, but this is a Shawnee Show exclusive.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes. I wish I could have done it with him, but I was
too busy.
Yeah.
One of the conferences?
No, this was yesterday, so I was just recovering from Coachella.
Oh, they did this yesterday? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was recovering from my no-chella.
Yeah. Dude, I feel like in general, we all need to just recover a little bit.
Yeah.
It's nonstop.
We really do. So, okay, you live with this guy, Ben. Do you also still live with Ye?
Yeah, so Ye, I live with Yay, Ben, Michael Fortner, and Mike Panero. Okay. And they're all content creators. Okay. And now our other best friends who are... We're all friends with the group of Churdleys, like the comedy group.
Okay.
This is like that whole group of people that I met. So also like other YouTube comedians, part of the friend group moved in to the townhouse right next to us. So we're like a huge family, like a huge content house. It's so fun.
Wait, that's so much fun. What a good time.
It is. And we do like family dinners. Like it's really, really nice.
That's so cute. It's a nice vibe. I love Ye. She's like a bottle full of sunshine.
I do too.
I don't know how she, the tightrope stuff. So you also do that here and there, right?
I'm not good at it. She's like Ye and Michael and Ben. Yeah. They are just on another level. But she does the high lining and the trick lining too.
Yeah, the one where she's like you're jumping on it and
on
stuff.
A slack line.
Yeah, that's
and she's so
hard.
She's so like big online for it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
She's like the person.
Yeah, yeah. Yay slacks, right?
Yay slacks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's fucking sick. Her content is just so sunshiny. You know what I mean? Like you watch and you get happy.
Yeah. I can say she's not always that positive, but she's amazing. It's like, she's so real. Cause like, you know, when you meet people like that, like my mom is like, is Ye always that happy? Cause like, she's like, wouldn't that annoy you? Because I'm the type of person who I like to just like,
chill.
I like just like real people. Yeah. Like if you're always happy, I'm sometimes it's exhausting.
Is that legit? Yeah.
Yeah. And she is very happy, but she's just also like real. Like she is my best friend. We talk all the time. Like when she leaves, cause she travels a lot, I'm literally like, come back. I feel like my other half is gone.
Aww.
But that's one thing about moving to LA is like, I didn't realize I was going to make so many true friends. Like these people I want in my life forever. Like,
I love that.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy to hear because a lot of people find it very hard to make friends in LA.
Yeah.
So it's like, whenever
I feel like I got really lucky.
Yeah.
In that factor.
Yeah. That's great. Where did you move from? Where are you originally from?
I'm from South Florida, Boca Raton.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
A lot of Jews there.
Yeah. There sure are. Yes, there sure are. Yeah.
That's hilarious. I think there was a Maccabi game down there when I was in high school. It's where like all the high school Jews go and play sports against each other.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's a big thing. So what was Boca like?
Boca was cool. I mean, I don't know. Like it's such a beautiful city. It was right by the beach. So that was always like,
nice.
I would go to the beach every day. It was really nice. I didn't have like the most friends. I had a few friends who were like my homies. And then I was kind of like acquaintances with everyone.
Mm.
But like, I just, it was cool. I was like a little punk in high school. So I kind of knew a lot of people, but I don't know. I feel like the people in Boca were not like the most trustworthy.
Like, interesting.
I had a few friends. Like I had a best friend, Kelsey, Jared, Trey, and those were like my people.
I thought you were about to call people out. They're about to be like, I have friends, Chelsea,
no.
And they fucked me over.
No. They're still like my home. Like they're still like, they visit me here in LA and I go out to visit
them. Yeah, that's like your core group back
there. Yeah, but I have like my family and my brother and like we were always like together. But as far as everyone else, like, I mean, I'm cool with everyone. Like I don't have any enemies or anything, but like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it was just like that high school shit. Like,
yeah,
everyone's
figuring
it out, a little self-conscious. Like, I don't know. I feel like people were like not like the nicest.
Yeah.
I will say. And I don't know if that's a Boca thing or just like a high school thing.
I think it's a high school thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a high school thing because we had that too. I was, it's a high school thing. People were just stupid and petty.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like I still have like a lot of my friends who I had in high school. Like one of them bought one of my NFTs and that meant so much to me.
I love that.
That literally like made my heart melt. Cause I was like, wow. I was like, thank you. Like that's really, really nice. Cause a lot of people are trying to get into it and figure it out. And a lot of people, even from my high school, ask me questions about it. Cause it's such a space where it's like, doesn't make sense. Kind of makes sense. Mm. Like, there's like thing like buying an NFT is expensive, so I always try to help them out because like you know everyone's trying to make it in some way.
Yeah, whenever you're active in NFTs, you become this point of information for all of your past friends and family who are like, hey, I'm trying to get it. I've gotten so many calls like that over the last like 6 months.
It's like, I don't want to give financial advice. Like, I'm like, I honestly, like, I'm in it, but it's like, it's still like, you don't, it's like still gambling. Like, you don't know, like.
Yeah, you're like, this is just not financial advice,
it's
though.
Like, it's like, invest at your own risk. Yeah. Like, even my dad, he's always been, like, my mom and my dad have always been like ahead of the game. They're graphic designers and web developers.
Oh, cool.
And then my brother, he is an app developer and he's really good at coding.
Wow, very techie family.
Yeah, techie, artistic. Like, it's funny. Like, I feel like me and my brother are like kind of like the split between like me and my parents, because like I'm like the total artist side and then he's more of like the tech side. But my dad, like my mom and my dad always were investing in stocks, like everything. And so now with like crypto, my dad's like, okay, so what do you think about Solana? Do you think that's like,
that you, shut up. He's like, your dad knows like, about Solana.
Oh yeah. Cause like they see what I'm doing and you know, they're like, I mean, I'm just so bullish on like everything crypto that they want to get into it. And so my dad's like invested in various things. He's like, I want to buy my first NFT. Like, he's like, he'll go on OpenSea and he'll ask me about like Pudgy Penguins and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Dad, I love you so much.
Oh my God. If my dad asked me about Pudgy Penguins, I don't even know what I would do. I'd be like, what?
Like little things like that. And I'm like, you're so awesome.
Oh, that's so great. Wow. What is it like to have like tech friendly parents? Because so much of my time with my parents is spent like explaining them things, you know, how to print this, doing that, how to log into that, walking through Netflix.
I mean, it's awesome. Like my parents taught me Photoshop, like Illustrator, like all the Adobe suites. So I always had those like growing up. Like I remember being a little kid and my parents had like the giant Macintosh computers, like the big ones.
Yeah.
And my mom would set me up on like the little art thing and I would like make little drawings. I would fill it in on the computer. And it was just like this giant, like big.
You're talking about the orange ones, right? That had like the color on them?
No, it was like, it was ugly. It was like this cream white. And it was like, oh,
that's the like iteration before that. Yeah. Just the monsters.
So they were always like, we had so many like, like we always had like Macs, cause like for as like artists, like cause from graphic design, like it was all done like when they were doing it, they were art directors and advertising, and so it was all drawn.
My dad did advertising.
No way.
Yeah, he had an advertising company for like I don't know how long for ages. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah. So they were always doing that, but it was all like, you know, they would hand draw everything, and then everything started moving more into like tech, and so they were like the first adopters early on doing everything like Mac, and so they killed it. That's honestly sick. I'm so like, that's like one thing is like I love to do everything like to make my parents proud, because when I was in high school I said I was a little punk. I put them through hell, so now I'm just like, I'm like, like I just want to make them proud, because they're like my biggest inspirations. Like even like from what they came from. Like my dad was born in Cuba, and they and they left when he was a kid. Like they left and moved to Florida with like nothing. And
wow,
yeah, and he's just like,
how old is he?
I think he was probably like 7.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, like my whole family, like I'm just so proud of them and like how far they've come in like a new country and like, you know, not even speaking English and just really making it. And I'm like, yeah, it just all for them. Always.
Yeah. That's so cool. Mm-hmm. That's so, I can definitely relate to that as a kid of immigrants. I feel like we feel this sense of we have to give back.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a pressure.
Yeah, like they've done so much for us. Like they did everything they could, and then they settled in this country with like all these opportunities. We have to take advantage of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got to make the most of it.
And also, it's always hard because you look at what they've done.
I know.
Coming from like not fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And then you think to yourself, oh, well, I'm coming from, you know, at least more of something. I better be able to, you know.
I know. Like, because.
So true.
Yeah. They always were just like wanted to, you know, give us the most and like always put me and my brother first. So it's like, I don't want to like waste that, especially now. Like when I was like in high school, I was just, you know, immature, went through some stuff. And like, I just didn't understand like I should. Like now I look back and I'm like, why did I do all that? Yeah. But yeah, me and my parents have such a good relationship.
I feel like it's part of life. You gotta be like, you know, you cause the trouble.
I mean, it's all like, some of the stuff that I went through, like, I wish it didn't happen, but it also made me who I am now, and I do like who I am. So I feel like it's like, you know, it worked out. Like, 100%. You know, made me smart, like street smart, I guess.
Yeah, even the, like, when you really like yourself, when you're so content with who you are and you're happy of who you've grown yourself to be, then it's hard to look back and say, oh, I wish this didn't happen. Yeah. Because, I mean, would you really be the same person now?
No, probably not.
Yeah. Oh, I so relate to that. Yeah. Wait, so your dad, he's from Cuba. So do you speak Spanish?
No.
Oh, you don't?
I don't. I really wish I did. I've tried to learn it. And I can't pick it up. I did just visit Mexico, and I think if I were to move to a Spanish speaking country, I think I could pick it up. But I feel like the way they teach you in school is so hard, because they start with just like grammar and all that, and like I feel like they should teach you as if you're a baby. Like, you're not learning grammar when you're a baby. Yeah. You're just learning the words, and then after you learn the words, like, grammar and all that comes next. Because I think if you were to speak to someone in Spanish and you had terrible grammar, they could understand you, you know? Like, they'd be able to, like, be like, okay, yeah, like, I'm getting what you're saying.
That's me. I speak Spanish, but I have the world's worst grammar.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds,
but I think that's, think, I'm sure people can understand you, though.
Yeah, I communicate pretty well. But it's just not, I mean, it's not correct at all. But, yeah.
I feel like that's how they should teach it. Like, I tried to learn German, too, because my mom is German.
Oh, no way.
And that same thing, like, too much grammar just right from the start. Like, just teach me the words in, like, the most non-complicated way, and I think that would be easier.
Do your parents speak
hot take
education system up.
Do it better.
Do your parents speak each other's languages? Like, does your mom speak any Spanish or dad any German? No.
Mm-mm.
Just both me in English.
Yeah
It's so funny when that happens.
Yeah, my dad speaks like a tiny little bit of German. My grandma used to live with us, and she had Alzheimer's, and my mom took care of her.
Aww.
Yeah, she's an angel, literally the most amazing woman ever. So my grandma would kind of speak German, and my dad could kind of like
pick it up.
Yeah, like he would try to learn.
Well, that's what you're talking about, like a baby, right? That's how you learn. A lot of people in Israel, a lot of the girls, they learn Spanish from the telenovelas. It's very, very common, I know. Actually.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people like from other countries learn English from, you know, American shows too.
Yeah, oh God. I hope they're not learning from reality TV. This is when we have a problem.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, it's though.
Hilarious. All right, so let's talk some ZHC, because that is such a cool part of your life. Oh my God.
Yep.
That's super cool. How did you get picked up for the show? Or actually, first, just let people know what the show is, just in case they don't know. So, and then the story of how you got picked up.
So ZHC is this YouTube channel. It's they're huge. They do art competition videos. I think right now they have 25 million subscribers.
Crazy.
And then they have a secondary channel that's called The Crafts Channel. So that's both the channel. And basically, the whole team, we're all artists, and we all work together to do crazy videos. Like, we did one where it was like we customized Lamborghinis. We do crafts videos, which are a little smaller, but we'll be like, whoever can make the best cardboard art like wins money for a subscriber or money for ourselves or like a prize, like stuff like that.
They'll pair you up with a subscriber, right? Yeah. Sometimes, and then you can win
for a lot
them.
Of videos. So that's like cool. Fun. And it also puts the pressure on, because it's like when you're winning for yourself, like, yeah, I would love to win like money or something. But when you're winning it for a subscriber, like a lot of times their situations aren't the same. So it's like that means a lot. So it like puts the pressure on, because it's like you got to win it for the subscriber.
Aww.
Yeah. So how I got picked up for that is during the 2020 quarantine, the pandemic, I had graduated college just like right when the quarantine started. And I was commissioned to do this huge mural in Times Square.
Cool.
Like, biggest thing, like biggest job ever.
What? How'd you get that?
It was this restaurant group that I did a mural for in Boca Raton.
Nice.
And they were opening one in Times Square. It's like, it's so up my alley. It's basically, it's called Rex Baron, and they are a VR lounge and a post-apocalyptic, like, Mad Max theme. So it's, like, so art. Oh, my God,
that's literally so up your alley. Yeah.
So I did a mural for them, and then it turned out really good. Like, one of my favorite murals to date. And so they were opening a location in Times Square, but the freaking pandemic hit and the whole project got cut. Oh. So I was like, I was just gonna move to New York, kind of like what I did to like with right. LA. I was just kind of gonna go. I was gonna do the mural and then move. So instead of that, I got really into TikTok and social media, and I found a little bit of success from that. So I'm like, oh, I'm gonna just keep dabbling with that. Did a little bit of traveling just like in my car.
Was the TikTok success, was that when you were doing the thrift store paintings?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so really cool.
I'm gonna get into
that. Yeah, we'll get into that, yeah.
So I started doing those videos. So basically with the thrift store paintings, like you mentioned, that's where I found like my little niche.
Yeah.
So I would basically take these thrift store paintings and I would paint characters on them. So and cool. I mean, TikTok loved it. And and like for the first video I released, I just like put in my bio, I sell like prints. And from that one video, I sold like 70 prints, which was
holy a shit.
Lot. Like at the time, like I was like, I could do this as a job.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So I started doing more of those videos, and then all of a sudden they started like blowing up, and I was selling like, you know, hundreds to like 400 like per video, which is like good. And I was just fulfilling them all myself. I had this like very nice archival printer that my mom had because she would sell prints too.
Oh, you made the prints yourself?
Yeah, and I would package them. Oh, no I would way. Make the stickers. And yeah, I did it
That's
all myself.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it turned into like literally.
But you probably made a lot more money doing that than drop shipping or some shit like that.
Yeah, it was a great profit margin.
Wow.
So I started doing that. And funny enough, this guy, Tariq, contacted me and we became friends, and he happened to be like the main videographer and like one of the main people in Mr. Beast. We just became friends.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And Mr. Beast, I believe, is in South Carolina. And so I was always like, hey, if you guys need a mural, I'll drive up, give you guys a mural for free. Cause it's like Mr. Beast. Like, I would love to do that. And I would love to meet Tariq in person too.
Were you still in Florida at the time?
I was still in Florida.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. This is during the 2020 like quarantine time.
Okay.
Yeah. And Tariq was like, oh, you know, we don't need a mural, but we happen to be doing this collab with this art YouTube channel. He's like, let me put you in contact with them. So I was like, okay, great. So I get a message from Zach, who is ZHC. And he's like, hey, he's like, Tariq told me you're a great artist. Like, would you be down to like come to LA and maybe do a video with us? I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sick.
I didn't hear from them for like a week. And I happened to release like my biggest print video to date. I sold like, I think like almost 500 prints.
Wow.
So I was like fulfilling them. I get a call from ZHC at 12 o'clock at night. He FaceTimes me and he's like, hey, it was like him and Michelle. And he's like, hey, he's like, we're doing a Christmas video. Would you be able to like come up on Sunday and like we'll fly you out? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, next Sunday? And he's like, no, tomorrow. It's like 12 o'clock at night. So I was like, you mean later today? I'm like, so I was like, you know what? Yeah. So I had my mom. I hired my mom and paid her to fulfill all my prints.
Oh, nice.
Went to LA and did the Christmas video with them. And it was really awesome. Got to meet like all the cast. Like they had at the time like this beautiful place in the hills in Hollywood.
Mm.
And it was just like a dream. Like they had this giant Christmas tree and we all wore elf outfits. It was so cute.
That's so much fun.
And so they're like, yeah, like we'll let you know if we want you on the show, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, like, cause I kind of live far away. So literally like, I was like, I just kind of want to go back to LA. Like there's something about LA in general where I was like, I have to be here. Like it was a certain draw. So that's when I
you
came
felt
out
the
to,
calling.
Yeah. I felt it. Like I've never felt that about a place in my life. So I was like, I have to be there. So a week later, I just flew myself back out to LA, and that's when I started couch surfing. I let CHC know. I was like, hey, by the way, like I'm in LA if you guys need me. Mm. And they're like, okay, we'll let you know. And so I ended up being in LA for like a month, just like meeting people, couch surfing. And I think one day, like one of the artists couldn't make it. So they called me at 10 a.m. They're like, Izzy, do you want to be in one of the crafts videos? We need an extra artist. And I was like, yeah, I got this. So I did the video and it was a really cute video. It was basically like art school. So it was like multiple challenges. It was like art history we had to do. It was drawing, sculpting. And I made it to the finals. It was me and Jake. And basically we both competed and Jake ended up winning and he did awesome. But the fans were like, Izzy should have won, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, Izzy, the fans really like you. Do you want to be on the show? And I was like, yes.
Hell yeah.
And so I started making a bunch of videos with them in the beginning of my journey in LA and like being part of the cast.
How long were you doing that for?
I want to say probably 6-7 months.
Oh, that's a good amount of time.
Yeah, they ended up moving to Austin and I wanted to stay in LA. So I still do videos with them, but when I get to go to Austin. But they're still like all my best friends. Like I was just on the phone with Mackenzie. She's the one with the red hair. It was just her birthday. So we were talking and stuff. I miss them a lot.
That show looks like so much fun.
Yeah, it's intense though.
Yeah.
Like some of the challenges we do, like, they're all real. Like the most intense one we did, it was I thought going in, I knew we were going to be painting Lamborghinis and I thought it was like best Lamborghini wins. And I was like, oh yeah, I got this. And then like the night before at like 10 o'clock at night, they told us it was going to be an endurance challenge. So instead of the best Lamborghini, it's whoever can stay awake the longest customizing a Lamborghini wins a Lamborghini, but the subscriber we're paired with wins a Lamborghini. So I was just like,
wait, do you also win a Lamborghini? Like you
no,
both?
No, okay. just the subscriber. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh shit. I was like, I've never done something like this. And then like they told us late too. So I was like nervous. I was like, oh gosh. So we filmed it at where they filmed the Batcave. It's basically like this like warehouse that has lights on the ceiling. And my God, it was, I think, the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
That's really hard. An endurance Lamborghini customization challenge.
And we had to do like mini challenges. And like if the artist wins, they get to like give other artists a disadvantage. But like the second or third night, this is when I think we all went like crazy.
Wait, how long were you guys awake for?
I think I was awake like during the video. I think I was awake for 53 hours, but we had to go to the set at like 5 a.m. So we were all like awake longer and then the video started filming. I think at like 1 o'clock. So I think I was awake for like 61 hours or something.
Wow, you become really delusional at that point.
Yeah. So So when we all really started hallucinating, like one of the nights, like everyone left and was just the artists and we were all customizing and the subscribers. We were all customizing the Lamborghinis, but they basically put rainbow lights like strobing on the ceiling and they played a baby crying loop for 10 hours straight.
What?
And blasted
some reality
it.
TV like, psycho you had, shit.
Yeah, it was actually insane. And it was like, and like you could barely even like talk to your friends because that's how like loud the baby crying was. And like I got a disadvantage from one of the other artists, so I had to stand. I couldn't even lean for 15 hours. So it was like it was so intense. And like
who won?
Jazz with the purple hair, and they deserve to win because they had such good spirits the whole time. Like Jazz is amazing, but it literally like that night with the baby crying, we all were just going crazy. Because the crazy thing is,
that's insane. That's fucking insane. Baby crying.
Yeah, and like, it was like
you're trying to torture someone. You're like, this is a horror movie.
It was
or
like,
some
it
shit.
Was 7 seconds of the video, too. I'm like, no one even understands the struggle. Because, like, it was all, like, all the things in it, it was all real. Like, it was all so real. But yeah, like the baby crying loop, it literally started to sound good to me. Like that's how crazy I was going. It stopped sounding like a baby crying and it started like sounding like this weird, like chanting. And I was like, I'm going to discover the secrets of the universe. Like I literally was like, I can hear it. I was like hearing voices like in the baby crying.
Okay. Yeah. What's a better trip, drugs or that?
I would absolutely say drugs would probably be a much better trip because that was like just pure on psychosis.
Oh my God. That is just crazy. 60 something, whatever the fuck hours. That's insane.
Yeah. It was, It's something I never want to do again. I love my sleep too.
No, sleep is so important.
Yeah.
Sleep is like, people don't realize your brain needs sleep. This whole idea, like the degen culture, oh, I don't get sleep. Fuck that shit.
No, I need sleep because I am like not human when I don't sleep. Like I am the grouchiest, like I can't even like respond to people. I like takes, it's, yeah, I like my sleep.
No, fuck that. Yeah. Okay, one of my favorite challenges that you guys did on ZHC was the ice sculpture.
Oh yeah, I won that one.
Yeah, that one was sick. Yeah. What was it like working with, was that your first time working with ice?
Yeah,
I mean, not many people get to like, that's such a fun, what a fun experience.
I know, that was so super cool.
Yeah,
literally.
So cool.
Yeah, that one was like, so we had like little mini chainsaws and I made like
a- so cute, the little mini chainsaws.
They were like good. And like, we had to do like a safety like little like seminar before it, because like none of us like I've never used a chainsaw before.
And a blowtorch, right?
Yeah, the blowtorch too, so that would smooth it. But yeah, that was really cool. I think the structure I chose was smart because I did like a dragon that was like kind of like curled, and I made sure to put like a really heavy base, because like if you make it too like thin at the bottom, like people's were just like falling down. And so I wanted to make sure it was really like the base was strong. But yeah, that was hard. And I think Michelle won one of the challenges, and she got to take like an ice pick and just like go off on it, like you know, like a scream style, just like stabbing or like psycho. But yeah, that challenge was really, really cool. And I think like, I won the, basically the winning prize for that one was a diamond.
Oh,
it was like, I like literally ice.
Like an actual diamond.
Yeah. It was like a little mini diamond that I got to have it. And I still have it. It's like a little diamond. I want to make like a little ring
like
out
a thing
of it.
Out of it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And I think the losing challenge was, the other artist had to, get dunked in a ice bath.
Like, yeah. And there was also that snow that you were pouring on each other.
That that was cold.
That looked so.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. And it was a really cold day in LA too.
Oh,
it was
God.
Like out of every day in freezing. LA, usually it's like, you know, sunny out. No, this day was cloudy.
Although I guess that's good though for keeping the ice from melting on your actual structure.
Yeah, it was just cold.
Yeah, it was fucking freezing. So what was your favorite challenge that you guys did on that show?
Or
maybe like top couple.
Okay, so my favorite one was it was like a brand deal for this video game that's like dodgeball.
Mm.
And so we got to make dodgeball outfits for Zach. So we all made him like costumes, and I thought I got second place in it, but Mackenzie won with this like very naturey like kind of warrior outfit, which was super dope. I loved my outfit though; it was so cool. I made this giant like.
What was yours? I want to see.
Yeah,
it.
Check it out. It's on my Instagram.
Oh, is it? Okay, perfect, amazing. Okay, explain it though for the people listening to the audio.
So basically, it was this giant like a bunny mask, like picture Deadmau5, but it's like a bunny, and it has giant ears, and I covered it in rainbow fur and giant eyes, and then I like customized the whole outfit. Gave him a custom dodgeball, like custom, like I dyed socks.
Oh, you gave him a custom dodgeball?
Yeah, with a
That's
bunny head
cool.
on it. It was a cool, I wish I got to keep the helmet because it's so dope.
Okay, how far back am I scrolling?
Let me see.
Right here.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh, shut
oh,
up.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Sick.
I almost forgot about the I made that jacket for him.
Wait, this is a really cool. I love the little ball. Look at the little ball with the bunny.
Thanks.
Hilarious.
It was a whole thing. That video was so fun because we all got to go to an art store. We were given money, so we all got to like buy supplies, but we only had like 30 minutes. It was like Project Runway.
I was literally about to say that's so Project Runway.
Just like that. And so I bought like fabric. I bought like foam. Like, do you know what I used?
Yeah. How'd you make the head?
So it was was like for like a wreath for like a flower. For a Christmas wreath. For like, it was circles. So I got different sizes and then I stacked them and glued them together to make the circle. And then I covered
this
in the
way.
Yeah. Like smart. Little donuts. Yeah.
That's so smart. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. That was good. And then I had to hand sew the fabric. I hand sewed that.
How'd you make the ears?
That was out of cardboard. Yeah.
This is fucking dope. My cousin once made literally a dead mouse.
Helmet. Head,
yeah. And because he used to go to raves all the time.
That's
and he would
awesome.
Wear them. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty interesting. Actually, I think my uncle made it, the same uncle that made that little tea thing. Yeah. He was very crafty.
Very crafty. Yeah. That channel is so fun. Like all the different challenges we did made me so much more of a versatile artist. Because me and Mackenzie, she's the one with the red hair, we were always like neck and neck for Crafts Queen because she was always winning. I came in like a lot later than the other artists, but I came in like
hot. You came in hot.
Yeah, going for the throat. Like, so I ended up passing her for Crafts Queen. Right towards the end before they moved to Austin. But now she overtook me again.
I mean, well, it's unfair. Now you're
but not. That was so funny because it was always like a little rivalry.
It would push you to be a better artist because you're doing such crazy shit. It's, you know, the meme, I think I mentioned this on the show before. It's hilarious that this keeps coming up, but it's the meme of reality shows in Britain versus reality shows in America, like the cooking shows in Britain. It's like you have 6 hours and every single ingredient that you could possibly need and all of the equipment that you could possibly need in this lovely setting to make whatever you want. And then the American show is like, you have a freaking garbage truck. Pick everything you can out of it. You have absolutely no cooking equipment. You have a lighter and a pan. Make a 5-course Michelin star meal. Like, you know what I mean? It's fucking hilarious.
I know. That's how
and
I feel like
that's what ZHC is.
Yeah, because we would have to do these mini challenges. And like, maybe Zach thought we were like out of shape because he made us do so many workout punishments. Like there was one where every lunge I did was like, I won like maybe $10 for a subscriber.
Every lunge?
Yeah. And I had to do it in like the sun. And I didn't even know that was a challenge. So I wore like Doc Martens and like jeans.
Oh,
that one
God.
Was so, and I had to carry like a 20-pound weight. And I'm like, Zach. Yeah, we had to do some intense challenges. We had to eat some like gross food.
Oh, eating gross food is the worst. I can't do that shit. I'm so incapable. I can't even, like, I don't even drink alcohol. I can't have anything gross.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't like it. We had to eat mayonnaise.
Ew.
And like, oh,
ew,
the one was so gross.
Straight
you know,
mayonnaise.
Like those fish pills?
Ew, no.
Like,
oil pills.
Yeah, but
you
we had
chew
to
chew on one.
Yeah. I couldn't even do, I had to spit it out. And then I had to do push-ups because I spit it out.
I think I would have actually died. That's disgusting.
No, that...
I would just go straight to push-ups. Can you do that?
No.
No?
I didn't... It wasn't really an option.
I would have been like...
And that challenge, that challenge was we had to make art out of gum and I am like disgusted by gum. I just don't like it. So that challenge was already nauseating.
Is gum your phobia?
Definitely one of them.
Oh
I don't like the smell of gum. I don't like the idea of like chewing
like people
on something.
Like when people are chewing gum around you, do you get so annoyed?
A little bit.
Yeah,
I don't love it. Like
especially
if
they're loud, like.
Yeah. Or in the car and then I'm just like, I'm like stuck with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you're stuck. You can't move. Ugh. Yeah, yeah.
I don't
yeah,
like it. So
yeah,
that
yeah.
challenge was bad enough. And then I had to eat the fish oil pill. That was bad. I lost that challenge so bad.
Did you have to chew the gum and then use it for art?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At least that's better than taking somebody else's chewed gum.
literally, oh God, vomit. No. Yeah, no. We had to, it was still gross, so chewing it ourselves.
Ew, that's a lot of fucking gum.
Yeah, that challenge was...
Who,
I can barely watch
who
that
Who came
video.
Up with all that shit? Was it all Zach?
Zach comes up with a lot of the ideas, but he has like a whole team, and also we come up with ideas too.
Yeah,
but
cool.
He is definitely like the mastermind behind the whole thing.
It's crazy how big his channel is.
It is.
It's fucking insane.
Huge.
Like millions and millions and millions.
I know. And like I went to Disneyland and
my
little...
Dog.
Oh, Oh,
hey, Richard.
Yeah, buddy.
You're so cute. We're recording a podcast, but okay.
I went to Disneyland and so many like little kids came up asking for pictures.
Aww.
I felt like a Disney princess.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I did. Like, it's weird that like a lot of kids actually know.
That's true because kids really watch YouTube.
Yeah. And I tell people my age and they're like, I don't know what that is. Like ZHC, they're like, I don't know. I'm like, it's like a kid's channel. And a lot of people from India and the Philippines too.
That's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, I was never really the biggest YouTube like watcher per se, but my sisters are obsessed with YouTube.
How and old also are
my
they? Brother.
Well, Eva's a little bit younger. She's 21.
Okay.
And then Noah's like a couple years older than that. And Tova's older than me. She's like 31 or something, or 32 maybe. And so they're all like obsessed with YouTube. I was never, but there is like a huge audience for it. And there's a huge young audience
there
for
is.
It. It's pretty crazy.
I find that I watch a lot more YouTube than I used to.
Now I definitely do.
Yeah.
I got more into
it's
it.
It's like I have a hard time focusing now.
Oh my God, that's exactly what my sister said. She can't do like full TV shows and stuff.
I mean, I still like, let me think. I watched like all of Euphoria, so good.
I still haven't watched that.
It's so good.
I'm kind of saving it because I know I'm just gonna get so into it.
Yeah, and then like you have to wait another year for the new
season.
Yeah,
like I'll just wait for like the next season.
Yeah, that's smart. Mm. I'm rewatching Cowboy Bebop, which is like the anime. But I've had a hard time focusing on like finishing shows. So YouTube, I love to watch like, not documentaries, but like where they go into like the making of like stars, like for example, like let's say like Tyler, the Creator, like his whole journey as like an artist.
That's cool.
And like, I love watching those cause they have really fascinating stories of like their come up and like everything.
Yeah.
Or like fashion designers. I'm super, super into like videos like that.
Are you big in fashion?
I really love fashion, but I'm not like a total like designer, like hoard. I'm just like, if the piece is cool, it's cool. It's and cool. I like it. It could be like, it could be a designer. It could be like H&M. It could be thrifted. If it's cool, it's cool. And I'll get it.
Yeah. 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 100%. I'm so like that as well. I honestly just don't really know designers. So it's like hard for me to even like, I'm so into so many things. I can't take on new hobbies. I just can't. But I love clothes. Like, I love style. Maybe that's a better word. Less fashion, more style is what I'm into.
Exactly. And I think that's, like, the important thing about it is, like, who is it? Yves Saint Laurent, I think, said, trends fade, but style is eternal.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
But so it's, like, just, like, wear what you like.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't, if it happens to be trending or you like something that's trendy, that's awesome. Mm. But don't just go with the trends, just find like your own personal style.
I will say I'm fucking happy that sweatpants are trending right now.
Yeah, that's one thing about LA. When I moved here, like, yes.
Yes, we're sweatpants. Both in sweatsuits right now.
I know, like, just like, that's the thing about LA is the style here is so casual.
Yeah.
Like, it's so like comfy, which yeah. I love.
Is
like,
it more fancy in Boca?
I would say in like Miami and like South Florida and stuff, it is like, I don't know. I don't feel like anyone really. It's hot, so maybe people don't wear as much like sweatpants and hoodies.
Yeah, that's true. It's but so humid.
Yeah, it is. So it's more like shorts and crop tops and dresses. And
stuff,
which I still love. Like, I love a good dress.
Yeah,
because like to me, that's like the easiest thing you can wear
because
you just
you
like
have to decide.
Yeah,
anything.
You just put on the dress, put on shoes, and you're like done.
Yes, it's so fucking easy.
I do love dresses.
Oh my God, I feel you on that. That's why I like matching sets though, because it's the same kind of idea. Like,
and you
really
look like you're putting an effort when you're really not.
Yeah, you're putting in the least amount.
Yeah,
the least amount. You have you don't have to think about anything.
Yeah,
it's fucking brilliant.
Like, I find that almost always, I'm always wearing like a dress, tights, and like boots.
Yeah,
like, or sneakers.
Yeah,
like,
that's a great
those
vibe.
Are like my outfits always because it gets a little chilly in LA. So like, I don't like my legs out because I get cold. So I'll wear the tights with it, and then like maybe like a cardigan or something with it.
Yeah, I like
that's like my go-to Izzy look.
I have my go-tos. I just wear fucking sweatpants.
Yeah.
I love my sweatpants.
I do love my sweatpants too.
Oh my God. It's fucking the best. Yeah, but the DHC shit is so crazy. I was watching it's that. It's so crazy. Like, that's freaking nuts.
I know. I look back at stuff and I'm like, I can't believe I did that.
I can't believe you did so much of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So what do you feel like has come out of DHC the most? Like, what opportunities has that led to? Because I feel like that was a really big get.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think the biggest thing about me being with DHC was like putting that on my resume, like, cause it adds so much legitimacy to me that I was like one of the main characters on such a large scale YouTube channel. And also seeing what goes behind running such a, like a big channel and a team, because I'm looking to assemble a team for my cartoon series and just like all that and just like the delegation. And I think just seeing that in person and being part of it, I think that was like the most important thing. Like I met like a lot of influencers and stuff, but even that I meet those kind of people outside of ZHC.
Yeah, just walk on Melrose.
Yeah, literally. So I think it's just the putting that on my resume, because that was a really big thing for me.
It is a really cool experience to be able to see how a show that is that successful,
like,
works.
Yeah, what goes on behind the scene. Because they've only been around for like two and a half years.
Shut the fuck up.
They're small.
They blew up like that in 2.5 years.
Zach is like on another level. He is able to like look into the analytics and look at other YouTube channels, because he got like a lot of his style from Mr. Beast, but in his own way, like in the art way. So I think just like kind of like, it's always important to see what other people are doing and like successful people and kind of like going off that in your own way. You know,
I need to start looking at what other people are doing on YouTube more, because I'm trying to grow my channel. It's just so hard. I'm not a naturally strategic person in that kind of area. I don't enjoy, well, it's not that I'm not, I can be, but I just don't enjoy it. And I really like doing things that I like to do.
Yeah.
And so I love like the creative side of things a lot more.
I mean, I'm the same way. Like, cause like, I'm like a businesswoman. I do all my marketing, all that. But I'm like, all I want to do is paint. But it's all like, you got to do everything.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm also a perfectionist, so I don't want to like hire other people on.
Yes, dude, it's so annoying.
Like, I'm like, I could do it better myself.
Oh my God, I am such a perfectionist that this is like my biggest issue, is that even when I'm just creating my content, that's why at some point I first of all would love to just be talent, like just be on the mic. I just want to fucking talk. That's all I want to do. I just want to be on the mic. I want to do shit like this, and I want everybody else to do all of this stuff and this stuff and just take care of it, because at this, if that happens, then I can also let go of the perfectionism.
Yeah, and you can then focus, I don't have to be the one like doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they can be the one creating the videos.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Oh my God.
For the cartoon series, that I need a team for.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I just physically and mentally cannot even do it. Like, yeah, I can't. No. I want to find, like, a really good writer, because, like, I have the whole story, but, like, writing dialogue and all that, it's hard. And I really want to find a really good animator, too.
Screenplays are really difficult. Screenwriting is a whole other beast. It's not the same.
Like,
so do you have, what's the series? Can you give us some insight on the series? Like, give us a little, like, how long is it? Do you have one season written, kind of?
Well, I have like the main story. I'm not sure how I'm going to like split it up. So I have like all of it. So I'm not sure if it's going to be like start from like the beginning or start like from where.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Because like there is like, I look at like, have you seen Avatar: The Last Airbender? It's like, it's an older cartoon series. Yeah, you probably have like a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's like an older series on Nickelodeon. So like, so well done. Probably one of the best cartoons ever, at least in my opinion. But that one is like, you know what's happening in the universe, and then it's like an overarching like plan. Like, you know from the first episode basically what has to happen, and it starts from there, and it goes through the whole story, and it ends with what you thought was going to happen. So it's kind of like everything is laid out and they're following this dynamic. While with a show like Adventure Time, it's kind of like goofy just like episodes, and then as you watch the show, like this dark underbelly starts to like surface slowly, and you hear that there is like this whole like nuclear apocalypse and like all this stuff that happened before, and it's just kind of unveiled, and I think that's really interesting too. But I think probably with my series, it's probably just gonna be like a little bit more of an, I don't know, just a overarching type thing.
Interesting.
I think so. I think that would be the best way to tell it. As we'll in, see. Like,
so as in you would be from start to finish, basically.
Yeah, like it might be like, so the series is called Disco's Dead.
I'm thinking of like Star Wars vibes, you know, where it's like,
yeah, there could go back. Yeah. Because I think there's even room for like to create this universe and then start with Eiko's story, but you can go into other people's stories.
Yeah, elaborate yeah, on that. You know, like, that's pretty cool.
Because it's a whole universe. So there's so many different things that you could tell about it. But I think the story I have is very strong.
So this, so Disco's Dead is the cartoon that you want to, that's okay. So
that's what it's called.
So it's going to be, so is the augment cartoon that you released, that little clip, is that kind of the...
So basically in the world of Disco's Dead, it's heavily like this, it's kind of like Earth, but like Earth maybe in the future a little bit. It's heavily impacted by climate change and pollution. So like there, it's kind of like...
It's like a little dystopian.
Yeah, it's like very grimy. It's like not really healthy to even be on the Earth. But all the humans are heavily involved in like the augment, which is like virtual reality and the space where they can escape. And even
that's the
like
goggles thing, right?
Yeah. And even like the main, augment, like you can even just like be in like, you'll see like, you know, like this room. And if there's like, let's say garbage or something, it'll just erase it. Like it won't even be there. So you're kind of living in this like, this perfect world that you don't even have to worry about like cleaning up. But the main thing is like on this planet, like the sun can't really penetrate the earth anymore. So plants can't really grow. Like oxygen is getting harder. Eiko, she works at the planetarium and she takes care of the ancient bonsais, which are like the oldest living plants basically. Also, gosh, there's so much involved. AI and robots like really help the humans and like they make the humans' lives better. Like they have the augment. They like, you know, clean up after humans, try to do all that. But their main problem is the sun can't penetrate the earth. So their plan basically to help the humans is to bring light back.
Oh.
And that's kind of like also like a biblical thing.
Is that like the main mission basically?
Yeah. Well, like that's like the main issue on the planet. It's right. Like there's no sun anymore. Like climate, like there's like constantly
so depressing.
Yeah. Storms, coldness, like it's just like really like
gray.
Yeah. And so the robots are like have an announcement. They're like, humans, we have a solution. And they're like, we're going to bring light back. So their plan is to basically cover the earth in solar panels only to light light bulbs underneath, which in fact will destroy the planet altogether because that will literally destroy it.
Oh, great. Good idea, guys.
So the humans have a choice to either like while they're building it, join the augment or to leave. Like the robots like aren't keeping them there. So Eiko decides to take the top of the planetarium where she has all her bonsais and leave the planet. So she leaves the planet.
How do they leave the planet?
Eiko is like pretty smart and she has a robot companion who like she built and she's able to convert it
into
more
like
or less.
A spaceship or whatever.
Yeah, she's like a bit of an inventor.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you like Eiko.
Yeah, I like Eiko too. And so from Earth, like the Earth covered in a bunch of solar panels looks like a giant disco ball. So that's why the series is called Disco's Dead, because it's kind of like after the Earth is destroyed.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And I want it to be like a thing where Eiko doesn't try to save the earth. She can't really save the earth. She's more or less a normal girl. Like, cause I feel like cartoons or like movies in general, like aimed at kids, like they're like, you can make the biggest change. You can make a small change for sure. And I never want that to not be the goal. Cause like your voice matters, but I also want like Eiko's decision to leave the earth to be kind of like questioning morality. Like, is there something she can do? Why isn't she doing anything? Like, I want it to be like, is this the right decision? Is she selfish? So I want it to be like kind of like that, because
it's super fascinating.
Adds like a
layer.
Like, yeah, because it's like, I don't want her to like save the earth, because really it's nothing she can do. It's like,
yeah,
like climate change is so real. But I don't know, just kind of like want it to be an interesting factor.
I like, I mean, I love when movies switch it up like that, mm-hmm. you know, because we're always, like you're saying, used to the,
yeah,
the
like cartoon the hero, being the hero. Saving yeah. the universe. Like all the yeah. Marvel movies are so like, yeah, they're yeah. like, they save the day from being the universe yeah. exploding. Like it's so intense.
It's so unrealistic.
Yeah. And so I wanted to have like a layer of like, is Eiko doing the right thing? Mm. Is this like selfish of her?
What do you think? Do you think that Eiko is doing the right thing?
I personally really don't know what she can do. She's taking the bonsais and bringing them somewhere where she can keep them alive. And I think that's kind of like her mission. Like yeah. that's the only thing she can really do. She was like kind of put to take care of these plants and that's what she's going to do. So I think it's okay, but it's like she's got to leave the earth behind, I think, to follow her mission.
Yeah. It's an interesting play on the idea of do what you can control and yeah. let go of what you can't control.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, that's a really fascinating lesson for kids to learn, which I'm assuming yeah. is going to be a big part of the audience for an animated film. Yeah. So, or an animated series. So I feel like that's a really interesting thing to add. Like it's a good addition to the storyline and it kind of mm-hmm. helps,
put into
teach a lesson.
Yeah, like I guess show a perspective where it's like, you know, because like maybe kids like grow up like thinking that like they can do everything and like, you know, there's so much pressure on them these days with social media. Like I know like kids these days, like in schools, like when they're asked like what do they want to do when they grow up, they want to be like famous YouTubers and stuff. And it's not saying that they can't do that because I think it's absolutely possible, but it is like can be an unreal expectation and lead to like disappointment. Mm. But I mean, I don't know, always strive for the biggest things you can, but sometimes it's smart to like know like what you can do and like do that really well.
It's so nuts to think that children now know of famous YouTuber as an option, as a career path. We didn't yeah. have that growing up.
No.
There was no famous YouTuber. There was no YouTube.
No.
There was none of that.
Not really. Like yeah. I never even thought that. I mean, like me growing up, like I loved Hannah Montana. I wanted to be just like her. I wanted to like have my show and stuff. But that to me, that was never ever gonna happen. Like, but that was like a dream. And it's so funny now that I was on like CHC, like I was like, I'm on a huge YouTube channel. I know, like, I was looking back at, like, analytics for, like, how many views, like, a new episode of Hannah Montana would get.
I was just thinking, you guys probably hit the same numbers.
It was 300,000 views. ZHC grosses, like, you know, 20 million.
300,000 views?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So you were way bigger than Hannah Montana.
Well, yeah. I mean, like the Lamborghini video, I think, has, like, 30 million or something.
That's
and I'm just like, oh my God, like I am like a kids show star, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Like I never would have thought that when I was growing up.
So
it's
kind of
so cool to do it now.
I love how much more opportunity there is. Mm-hmm. I never would have thought that I mean, just growing up, all of the people that we saw on TV and things were so perfect. You know,
yeah.
everything was so photoshopped. It was so inaccessible mm-hmm. and it felt so just wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now there's like so much more access to stuff. We have so much more access to people, to audiences, to platforms. It's, do you ever feel that, do you ever feel the gravity of things? Like, do you ever feel how big you are and your power and your influence is? Or do you ever feel overwhelmed by it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a weird thing where it's like, like sometimes like I'll get messages from like people and it's like, they'll be like asking for help. Like, cause I'm part of ZHC and ZHC gives a lot of money like away. And like personally, even like I was like living in my car when I was at ZHC and I never let them know or anything.
You were living in your car while you were doing ZHC?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I wasn't making like that much money. Like it was
were you
more,
not that's crazy.
Like they paid us and everything, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like what people might expect.
Right.
And so it was just great for like exposure my career. And
right.
it was like a nice, like steady income, but I really wasn't making that much and I didn't want to just like spend all my money. So at the time it was honestly just easier for me to live in my car.
Yeah.
And like couch surf and stuff until I was able to like get a place, which I mean the first place I moved into was a storage closet, but it was something.
You moved into a storage closet?
Yeah, and with my roommates who I'm with now, we're moved out. We like
Wait, you all lived in a storage closet?
No, they had rooms, but they had an extra storage closet in their house, which was like this tiny little room. Oh. It did have its own bathroom, though, oddly enough.
That's very interesting.
So it was chill. But so I was with like Ye and Ben and all of them.
Oh.
And then we moved into a nicer place now. Now that we all like got a little more successful. Yeah. But at the time, yeah, I was living in my car and I would get these messages from people and they'd be like, please help. Mm. Like, we have no money. Like I got one where someone sent me a picture of their grandma in the hospital and they're like, can you please help me? And I'm like, it makes my heart hurt. Cause like I wish I could do something. Like, this person's reaching out, but like I personally don't have any money, and like Zach gives away a lot too, and like there's almost no way to help everyone. So when I see messages like that, I'm like, I do feel like a lot of pressure. I'm like, people are seeing this and they have these expectations, like, you know, we have all this money that we can just like give away, but it's like it's not really like that. And like all like the pressure, like especially to make, like, for example, on TikTok, like to keep like one-upping like your videos or like getting another video that goes viral. Like, I am not that TikTok isn't that much of my means of success, but my roommates, like Ye and Mike, they use TikTok a lot. It's basically their main way to like get their stuff out there and do brand deals and all this stuff. And they are put under a lot of pressure to keep making viral content.
Yeah,
and
that's
it puts them
stressful.
Under stress, because it's like it's like you're one, like under the control of like the algorithm of TikTok, and two, it's just like you keep having to make this content and like keep feeding it out there, and it's like it's definitely hard. I mean, I do that too, but like I don't know, it's like a little different because I'm not just like solely like. Need that, like
you're also selling your art and stuff, so it's different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I have like other ways, and that's always been the way I make money, is like with my art. But yeah, it's definitely like tough on them and on me too.
Having a product to sell is so valuable and important.
Absolutely.
Like Matt's course that he's selling, that's genius, because
it is.
Then it doesn't rely solely, you know, then you're as a content creator, you're not relying solely on brand deals and having to produce the content. Like, you have something out there that people can just purchase.
Yeah, and it's not even physical, right? Like, it's just like you can just download it or buy it and then it's there. Like, that to me is like genius.
Yeah, courses are, I mean, you should definitely do it. You could do a course.
Yeah, I used to teach.
Art course.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you could put one of those up and that would be such a good stream of income just over time.
Yeah, and it could be ever evolving too.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, absolutely.
Because things change all the time.
You can also create subscription models, like, but just if you can send people to things where they can actually buy something and contribute straight to you. You become less reliant on the social media algorithms.
Yeah, absolutely.
My dog is like, what about me? Do I get bacon? Huh? What are we buying me? What are we buying me? Look at his paw prints on the window.
I know.
Richard, you little
He's
nutty.
So cute.
I brought him back from Israel.
I love dogs. No way.
Yeah, crazy. Right?
Did you like adopt him there, or was he on the street? Or
yeah, I rescued him. I didn't rescue him from the street. I rescued him from a rescue though.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Like,
yeah, they needed someone to watch him, to foster, and then one thing led to another. And
was he a puppy or was
years
he
later
a,
we're here?
Like,
he was 6 months old.
Oh, little baby.
He is so cute.
How old is he now?
Like four.
Oh, the cutie.
Yeah.
I miss having a pet. Like, I miss animals.
We have another one, but he's probably not going to walk over here. He's so slow. He's old. Hank, aww. He's so cute. Oh my God, little muffin.
Are you more of a dog person or a cat person?
I'm a little bit allergic to cats, so I can't be around them for too long. You know, it's not like, you know, not like an hour or two. I have to be around them for like 12 hours, let's say. But, you know, if I am, then I just get really nasally and everything starts twitching and shit, and I become like a
I feel that.
Yeah, I can't really do it, but yeah, I love dogs. I've always loved dogs. But okay, so going back to the social media stuff, because it's so, you know, social media to me is like such a interesting place, because sometimes, but then woo, other times.
Yeah,
and it's this juxtaposition of, you know, it can be so useful, but it can also be so detrimental.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's kind of just a mind fuck. And so many people are making so much money off of it. And it's, you know, I want to be out there. I want to be doing all these things, but it can be so exhausting producing 3 fucking TikToks a day.
I couldn't even imagine.
Like, I mean,
it's so hard. I mean, like posting like frequently is like, it's a job in itself. Mm. Like Instagram is probably like my main social media outlet. And like, I mean, for me posting a story, that's pretty like low pressure.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
I really do like to like take pictures and videos. Like I like doing that. It's creative, but like having the pressure of like posting like it all and like doing that and like having it fit into like your feed and like look good.
Yeah.
I put so much pressure on myself to make my feed look good. I'm so over.
I used to be so into that. And then I just got so fucking over it because what a stress.
Yeah.
What is like, it's the worst. And then you're like, oh, this color one over here and this one's over here. And then maybe we should stack them. And yeah. It's like, no, I can't.
It's just like, it's like the artist in me comes out. Cause it's just a way of like doing another form of art. So I'm like, I have to make it like my aesthetic. And it's like stories. I actually love stories. I almost only watch people's stories too. Like I barely look at my
Instagram feed. Same, I always tap through the top.
Yeah. It's just so it's easy. Like I like seeing what people are actually doing. Like, in the day instead of like seeing these highly like curated pictures and stuff. Like I still look at it a little bit, but I more or less like see what people post in their feeds if they post it in their story and they're like, I post this like new and I'm like, oh cool, I hit like.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know
like
mean.
I'll see it in their
new
stories.
Post or whatever.
Yeah, I actually like it when people do that.
So funny, on my IG for the let me open it up for the Shawnee show, I worked so hard on this. I was so okay, now it's a little bit off balance because I add another video, but this was like all checkered with the Gary V's.
And
I
like that looks pretty good.
It looks good, right? Yeah, for Shawnee show, I do sometimes get that way because I'm such, like we were talking about before, such a perfectionist. So it's hard. Do you ever get bad comments and stuff on socials? I don't feel like your stuff elicits much bad stuff.
No, I'm not that bad. I've actually don't really get that much of hate comments. Sometimes when I'll post like something that's like a little more of a thirst trap, I'll get like weird comments, but like they're not really necessarily mean. They're just like
they're just creepy as shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, ugh. But on TikTok, and I won't say they're like mean, but like with my thrift store videos, they are controversial, funny enough. Mm. So I'll get people who are like, being like, this is wrong to like paint on someone else's art. And then I'll get people being like, no, it's gonna be like thrown away. Like, and that's what makes the videos go viral because people literally argue with themselves like in the comments. And like, it's like, I mean, it's like not like anyone's right or wrong because it's like, I feel like, you know, like I'm using someone else's art and like painting stuff on it, which is like kind of messed up, but also it's like, their art would have never been seen again, really.
Yeah.
And now it's being seen by like millions of people. It's kind of a cool thing. Like, cause there was this one painting. I could tell it was the same artist cause it was painted in the same style. And like, most of these paintings don't even have signatures. And if they do, I try to like find the family or find them and give them half the profits. Cause it's like, it's literally theirs, but I almost can never find them. But there's this one that he had no signature on it, or she, I'm not sure. And like all their paintings were just like in the final sale in like a thrift store. Like I think they probably would have been thrown away. And they were literally like $2 each. And I had a feeling that the person who painted it probably passed away and their family probably just couldn't keep all their paintings. And so I think it's really nice that it's like you're able to give this piece a new life and like that person like can live on through that and like be seen by new generations and have it be like relevant. So I think it's something magical about like, even though it's like kind of collaborating, I guess they don't know we're collaborating, but like collaborating with like an artist and like bringing their painting like back to life almost. I think it's something really magical because I have like, I take such good care of these paintings and like, I never just like plop something on it. Like I make sure it fits and it like blends in like with their style.
I love that.
Yeah. I really like doing it. I mean, I only did it like in the beginning just for fun because I just really like, it was kind of a relaxing way to paint and it was like easy more or less because it was just like the painting's kind of done and you get to add your touch to it.
Which one blew up? Was it the first one you posted or was this like the...
The one that really blew up the first time was, it was Howl's Moving Castle. And that one was actually not, it was on my grandma's painting. She didn't paint it, but she owned it.
Oh.
And that one, like, that painting was probably really old. I think it was probably from, like, the 1940s.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it was old. And that one was so controversial because people were like, you're ruining a painting from the 1940s. And other people were like, dude, that's it's historic. So much better now. And it's just kind of, like, a funny thing. And
I need people to argue on my TikTok. That's what I need to have happen.
Like, do something slightly controversial. Because it's, like, kind of, like, bad, but it's really not
that
bad.
Yeah, but it's not bad.
Like,
it's not bad.
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of cool. But that one was like, people were like hating on that one. And then people were loving it too.
You're tearing down a historical piece.
I know. It looks so cool now. I like, I'm upset. Like, I'm never going to donate that painting. Like, I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And so I'm keeping it.
But you turn all those into prints, right? People can buy all those. Are all of them available right now on your, where?
What's IsabellaAddison.com.
Okay, you heard that right, guys. So if you want any of those, go catch yourself a print.
Yeah, please check it out.
The painting you do on photographs, I think, is also really cool.
Yeah.
I really love that when you have like a picture of yourself and then you paint on top of it. That's so fucking sick.
Yeah, so that's something like slightly newer that I've been doing. Mm. I think as of like last year.
I love it.
Well, I did it in high school once, but not nearly to the degree as I do it now. But I don't feel like I'm an influencer, but like being like that kind of person on social media, a lot of my followers really like me posting pictures of myself and my art. I hate posting pictures of myself. I hate it. But like being like, this is kind of my job. I kind of had to like do that.
I love the pictures of you. They're great.
Thank you. Yeah. I definitely put a lot of care into it. Like sometimes it is fun, but it is like, ugh, I like making art. And like sometimes if I get creative with like a photo shoot, like that will be like kind of like a form of art. I just like rather take pictures of other people and stuff. But the way of like drawing on my pictures, that has become something where I'm like, can mix the two things.
Yes.
Like posting myself and then making like this like augmented world around me. I think it's so fun.
I love doing it. Sick. It adds, again, digital and physical, like it ties them both together and it adds a whole other layer to what you're saying, which is just like a photo view.
Yeah, and it's just like my life and it's like these experiences and stuff. And it's like, it started really like mainly with this one picture. I took it in Utah at like the Pink Dunes. This place was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was such a pretty picture. But I was just like, I don't really need to just post this. Like, what is this? So I added this like crashed like spaceship plane like into the sand that was sticking up. And I was like, I was like, I love this. I was like, I'm obsessed with this. And then now I can't stop doing it. Like, cause I do a lot of like nature and traveling. I love hiking and all that. And I'll take these pictures and I'm like, I'm not just gonna post like a hiking picture. Mm. But when I add like the spaceships or like the different things, it just makes it to me so special. And like I add my artistic touch to it.
Yeah, it becomes so much more than just a photo. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool artist called Donna Adi. I don't know if you know her. She does like sort of doodles on photos.
Cool.
I don't even know. Doodling is a kind of a weird way to say it. But it just, it's very... like colorful and graphic and bright and lots of like drip things.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. And to watch her progress over the years, it's been awesome. So she does a lot of that and all of her photos, she does like that. But yeah, I love your stuff. How'd you get so into the AI thing? Cause that seems to be such a big part of all of your work.
I just really like technology.
It's,
like
it's
honestly,
all the robotic
I just really like it.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know what else to say besides like, I feel like technology is like going to be our savior and our demise at the same time. Like, you know,
yes, it is.
Like,
that's
it's
so
like,
good.
I feel like technology and like everything that we've done, like to get to the situation that we're in right now, it's like all technology's fault, but like technology is also going to be the thing that like brings us out of it and advancement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 100%.
And
can't
I just,
more.
Dude, I just like love it. Yeah. I like, if I had the choice, I think I would absolutely give myself like a robot hand because this hand's pretty talented and this one is just kind of
like a bionic arm.
Like it's just kind of like,
what is that? Your left hand?
Yeah. My left hand. I'm right handed. And like, I'm just like, if this one was like robotic, It would be pretty OP.
That would be pretty fucking sick. Yeah,
like a total like Blade Runner type thing. Like, I don't know. I think it would just be cool to have like cyborg.
If I had a robotic arm, yeah. it would be able to like turn into a microphone at any moment, you know? Yeah. And then I could just start screaming to people or like a megaphone.
That would be sick. Fucking
hilarious. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that would be sick.
Yeah.
That's sick. Were you into superhero shit growing up?
I always really liked superhero movies, but definitely not like a big like not there's like people who are like obsessed with
it. But you're into anime. Yeah,
I like anime and I like cartoons a lot.
Yeah,
those are like my top.
What,
like
what was your main cartoon growing up? Ooh, other than Airbender?
I loved Adventure Time. I love like a lot of like the Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon shows. Mm. So like ones like a long time ago, like Ed, Edd n Eddy, Conan, Kids Next Door, like those. And then I got into like Steven Universe and even like Cat Dog. I loved Cat Dog.
Cat Dog was hilarious.
I know. Did you ever watch like the Cat Dog movie? Like where they try to look for their parents?
I may have. I don't remember it though.
It was like sad. But I love like Disney too. Like Lilo and Stitch. Like all the Disney.
Lilo. Oh, yeah, PB&J Pixar. Otter. Did you ever watch that? That was no. My fucking shit. Love PB&J Otter. Roly Poly Oly. Those were like my. Yeah. Oh my God. PB&J Otter is the most underrated Disney show ever.
I know. I'm not familiar.
I love it. They lived in the boathouse, the houseboat.
That sounds sick.
And they like slid down the houseboat. Oh my God. They were so cool. I love them. They were they were like the gang.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
I love like all the Studio Ghibli films, Pixar, like all those. I got more into anime in high school when I got a little older.
Yeah, I have a few friends who are crazy into anime. Like they are.
I feel like I'm definitely an anime fan, but I'm not die like hard. Diehard.
Yeah,
I'm more into I guess American cartoons, but I still like anime's just still dope. It's so beautiful. Yeah, and like the stories are insane a lot of times.
I'm trying to think of my one friend who's like crazy. He goes to the conventions and shit.
Yeah,
and dresses.
I love cosplay.
Cool. Cosplay is sick.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think I've seen some of your cosplay. Mm-hmm. Cosplay is so much fun.
I want to do more.
Like, Halloween is my shit.
Me too.
My literal shit. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with. I fucking could dress up all the time.
What's your favorite Halloween costume you ever did?
Oh, this year's were pretty crazy. So we have a Jewish holiday called Purim too, which is like kind of like our Halloween, if you will, where you dress up in a costume. And in Tel Aviv, every year they had a what's called a zombie walk.
Oh, that sounds
sick. I used to do really fun iterations of zombies. I did a zombie, which is a zombie in a onesie. I did a zombitch. That was fun. I did a zombie, like a zombie bumblebee. That was really cool. So those are really fun. But I would say my costumes from this year really took things to another level. I did let me show you this one. So I did these three. I got them all from Dolls Kill, but then the makeup was just crazy. It was my first time working with like liquid latex and shit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I went fucking ham. And I posted reels on them too, like transformation
this
reels.
This is so sick. It's a whole space theme.
And then I did a Squid Game costume. Whoa. Where I actually made the candy. Like I made the Dolgana, whatever the fuck it is. That thing was really hard to make. I thought it was going to be so easy.
You really?
And yeah, it's just sugar and baking soda, but you have to get it all right. And then you have to like pour the right amount.
Like
it's like
a science experiment.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. It really fucking was.
That's sick though.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I loved it.
My favorite costume I did, I was actually really young. I think I might've been like 12 or 13. Shit. And this costume was just insane. I actually won like a best Halloween costume. But it was like a Mad Hatter costume. And I made everything. Like I got this little vest. Like I went with my mom. I got this little vest and we like I got it from a thrift store. We made this like puffy like tutu skirt. But then the hat, that's where the things went. Like I got like this top hat type of thing, but then I took like foam that was like circle foam. I cut them in half and made teacups out of it, and I painted them all, and then I arranged them on my head like almost like they were balancing. And I did a giant like foam teapot at the top, and it made me like 6 feet tall or taller. It was like up there, like it physically hurt my neck.
That's
but it
sick,
was
though.
Such a good costume.
Was it heavy?
It was heavy, yeah.
Because it was just so much.
It was a lot. Like it was made out of foam, but it was still like after all that, like it was hard, and we had to like literally like pin it and sew it into my head, and I had like a strap. But I won like a little Halloween best costume.
That's fucking great.
It was a good costume. That was like. Yeah, that was
cosplay is so fun for creative people.
Yeah, it is so fun.
The best fucking time. I love it. Oh, I know.
I want to do like a Daenerys cosplay because a lot of people tell me
with your hair.
Yeah, I want to do one of her.
When did you dye it that color, by the way?
Well, I did it for ZHC because we all had our own color, and at the time they're like, "Yeah, we only have orange left," and I was like, "What about white?" And they're like, "Yeah, you could do white," and I was like, "You know what? That's pretty cool." So I did white.
White over orange.
Yeah, I don't think I'm an orange girl.
Oh, yeah, everybody has different hair.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I didn't even catch on to that.
Yeah, we all have our own, like, little color. Yeah,
color.
And we all have, like, merch that, like, corresponds, like, hoodies with our color.
That's cute. Yeah, did you get profit from the merch?
No.
Oh, well.
Unfortunately not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. All right, so before we wrap up, give us one, like, fun fact or something hidden or just an interesting gem about you that you feel like people don't know or that you don't put out there very often.
Oh, gosh. You're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah, this is always a really great question. Love hearing what people come up with.
I know. A fun fact. Do you edit some of this stuff out where it's just like,
for the yes and no, like yeah. It depends. I mean, the gardener thing I'll probably edit out.
Okay. I have a funny story.
This I'll probably keep in.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I have a funny story. So when I was in high school, little punk, didn't have a lot of money. I was a little punk. I worked like three jobs because I loved going to music festivals so much. But at the time, like, I didn't really have that much money. So I would like sneak into all these music festivals.
Hell yeah.
Like all of them, all these events.
That's the way.
And one of the best experiences I had was I snuck into Electric Forest. And this was this was a hard one because it was a commitment because I had to buy a flight there because I can't sneak onto a flight. So my friend lived in Michigan, so I went and met her. And this festival was really hard to sneak into. But I ended up doing it. And one of the nights, like,
how'd you do it?
I made a fake wristband and that didn't scan, but it looked just like it. Like I painted it and like I made the whole thing because my friend had a wristband, but like she sent me a picture. So when I went in through the gate to like go into the festival, obviously it doesn't scan. Right. So it didn't scan. And they're like, "Oh, is there an issue?" And I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "Okay, let me like take you to the help desk." And I'm like, so as I'm walking, like, I feel like I had like my hand back and I feel like my friend like touch it. She slipped me her band and then I put it on my wrist, like while me and like the guard are walking. And I was like, how about I try like one of the other scanners? So I did it and it scans. And I'm like, oh, maybe there's just an issue. He's like, okay, bye. And
genius. That is smooth as shit.
Yeah. So I would like sneak into a bunch of festivals, but Electric Force specifically, like that day, like my friends were getting tired. So they're like, okay, we're going to go to the campsite. And I was like, I kind of still want to dance. So I was just dancing. I was all alone. And something, I don't know why, but I just started like throwing away garbage. Like I was just having such a fun time doing it, oddly enough. Like I snuck into VIP just to throw away garbage. And they have this thing called prize cart, which I didn't realize was a thing. But it's basically like you're supposed to like clean up all the garbage, put it in a bag, and then you get prizes for it. So I saw that and like I went up to them and I was like, can I just have a garbage bag? And they're like, sure. So I took the garbage bag and I like literally like laid it on the ground next to me while I danced, and people just threw away all their garbage in it. And so I went to prize cart with like this giant like Santa Claus bag of garbage. And I plopped it down and they're like, whoa. And so they gave me like a custom, like Electric Forest monogrammed hammock, all this stuff.
What? And then, you got a fucking hammock? That's sick.
Yeah, I got like a custom monogram, like camelback that was Electric Forest. I got all this stuff, like goggles, so cool. And like someone tapped me on the shoulder, like, cause I was still throwing away garbage. I was having a freaking blast doing this. I don't know why, but I was. Someone tapped me on my shoulder and they're like, we've been seeing what you're doing. Here you go. And I'm like, what's this? They're like, just follow the directions on it. It was like a little ticket. And it was basically like Sunday at this time, go to the mechanic. You're invited to the captain's lounge. And I was like, what? So they have this.
Lounge?
I know. I've heard rumors about it, but people are like, don't know if it existed or not. But I got like a ticket for it. And so they have this hangar where they have all these like 50s shops in it. And the mechanic is always closed. Like it's always closed. closed. So on Sunday, I go to the mechanic and there's a man outside just playing the guitar, and I hand him the ticket and he's like, perfect. He's like, head on to the back. So I go to the back and it's just this like black room with a chair that's just lit up. I sit on the chair and then there's this like a desk that like the light turns off on me and then a light turns up on the desk, and it's a man at a typewriter and he's typing. He's asking me questions. And then he's like, he looks at me. He's like asking my name. He's like, you're really pretty. Do you mind closing your eyes? And I'm like, okay. So I close my eyes and I can feel the room start to like slowly spin around. What? And as it spins, like I hear like a bass line. And then when I open my eyes, I'm literally in the captain's lounge. It's like it looks like what you'd imagine, like leather couches, books, like, ooh, this like a bar. They had like a private set from what DJ was it? Maybe it was like Grizz or something.
Like a yeah, speakeasy type vibe.
It was like a speakeasy, cool, and they had free drinks and pizza. And I was like, I was literally blown away. And it was just like all like really like high caliber individuals. And it was like I think like the owner of Electric Forest or like stuff like that.
Wow.
And that was cool. So like, I don't know, clean up garbage, moral of the story.
That's a really fucking sick yeah, story. I'm so happy I asked that question. I know. That is a really cool story.
Yeah, and that's like, that's like the magical thing too about like music festivals sometimes. Like, like you get into some shenanigans.
But so, I think it's also the magical thing about being authentically who you are.
Yeah.
Because you were just having so much yeah, fun picking up garbage. And instead of thinking like, oh, this is weird, I probably shouldn't do it, you were yeah, like, well, I want to, so I'm
yeah,
gonna.
I mean, I went to the festival yeah, for free, so yeah, might as well help out a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that's know, true. Yeah, yeah. You may as well give back.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was all alone. So I was like, it was fun. And people were like, I was like throwing the garbage into the garbage can. People were like, yeah. Yay. Like we were cheering. It's just so funny. But wow, yeah, that's a cool little Izzy story.
That's a great Izzy yeah, story. Wow, what a high to end off this yeah, podcast on. That was fantastic.
Cool.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This has been great.
Okay, before I let you go though, I do want you to give everybody like shill yourself. Tell us where they can find you. Shill yourself gosh, like a ShamWow, okay? Give us the usernames.
You'll never know what happens next.
The handles. But wait, there's more.
There's more. Okay, so honestly, I'm Isabella Addison on everything. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, OpenSea Foundation. Yeah, I mean, I'm Isabella on it.
So Foundation is also like OpenSea, right?
It is. It's kind of a little more close to like Super Rare. It's right, like catered right, towards one of
one. One of one. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, people should definitely check you out yeah, on those.
Isabella Addison on everything.
And your website, isabellaaddison.com.
Isabellaaddison.com.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. You guys check her out, buy her prints, support her, go show some love, yeah, and go rate the fucking podcast.
Come say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, rate it. Yeah. Rate 5 stars. Yeah. Super high.
Yeah, not 4 stars. Boo. No, 5 stars. Five. Yay.
Bye.
Yay.